This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. Call the Freedom is at the forefront of helping victims of sex and labor trafficking navigate a new path. We are lucky once again to have Becky Rasmussen of Call the Freedom with us, along with Rachel Foltz. She's the Director of Impact and Program Relations, and Jen Recknagel from Thrivent about their upcoming partnership with Call the Freedom. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're so excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
It always feels like it's been a long time since the last time we spoke, Becky. So how the heck are you?
We're doing great. You know, I wish we could say that we're slowing down, but we're not. We're seeing individuals walk through the door. Actually, exciting news in our tenure. We just opened a Rapid City office, so we're expanding into new territory. That will be officially launched next month. So in December, we will be opening that up. And I do think we're going to see more need than we ever have. And so, yeah, we're not slowing down, but we're thankful for you giving us an opportunity to share. I think one of the things about human trafficking is it thrives in the darkness, and we don't talk about it enough. And so as we talk about it, not only do individuals come forward, but also we're educating our community to better identify and respond to this issue.
Well, thank you for that, Becky. And you always give me exciting news every time you walk in the door. I didn't know about Rapid City, the location opening up. Can you believe another location, this history, this 10-year history, and how far you've come? Is it kind of like a pinch me moment every time?
I actually am looking for an opportunity to slow down a little bit. But, you know, I think one of the things is that when the need is there, you know, we're very passionate as a team to make sure that we're meeting those needs. And so we've just seen this increase within the state. You know, 2 years ago, we were 80% of our referrals came from Minnehaha and Lincoln County. And the other 20% came from other states, as well as the South Dakota as a whole. When we go to 2024, we were at 65% Minnehaha and Lincoln County. And we're just seeing that number change as people get to know who Call to Freedom is and what services we offer. Our number one referral source is other victims. And so those people that are getting help are going to other individuals that are stuck in the cycle of trafficking and saying, hey, this group at Call to Freedom, they know how to get out. They have the right services. They're providing us with those next steps. And to us, that's the greatest, you know, compliment, because we want to make sure that those individuals that are coming out know that basic needs, safety, and all of those issues will be met.
Speaking about getting to know you as an organization and word of mouth of what Call to Freedom is, for anyone that may not have heard about you guys before, tell us a little bit about the story of Call to Freedom.
Yeah, so we were established, as you said, it's going to be our 10-year next year, and we were established in 2016 as a nonprofit providing supportive services to those impacted by human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation. And when I started Call to Freedom, I never thought that we would see the need that we're seeing now. You know, we just went out that first year and started talking. We were all volunteers for the first 2 years until November 2017, got a first paycheck, which was great as a single mom at that time. And we just continued to see people walking through the doors that needed our services. And we would double our numbers from year to year. Obviously, that first year, we started with 30 individuals that we were supporting on a part-time basis. The next year, we went in over to 60. As you look at full numbers as of 2018, we are over 1,700 individuals that we've served that walked through the doors of Call to Freedom. We went from just volunteer individuals to now 28 full-time staff with a location outreach center here in Sioux Falls, as well as now in Rapid City. And we have a Marissa's House that supports women that are coming out of trafficking and their children. And we we can house up to 36 individuals. And so that continuum of care model was really developed based on the journey of survivors. And we have an amazing survivor on staff who does program development. And we've really taken the model of Call to Freedom and listened to the voices of those impacted by human trafficking and developed a model that we feel needs to be spread whenever God decides that that's time.
You already said the number, 1,700, over 1,700 voices of people you have served, you've given a voice to. What does that number mean to you?
To me, I know there's a lot more out there that need help. That is seems like a large number, but honestly, based on what we know is happening within circles, we know we have a lot of work to do. As we said, you know, majority of our referrals come from Minnehaha and Lincoln County because we're present here. Yes, it's an accomplishment. Yes, I'm glad that there are services for individuals that are impacted by human trafficking, but we know that that is just the beginning. There are so many circles within not only sex trafficking, but labor trafficking that we haven't reached with the prevention. And you're going to hear about some of our events that we're doing online. I mean, there's so many kids that are getting access by perpetrators from all over the United States, not just and internationally, not just, you know, here in South Dakota. And so the impact of what we're doing, I know, is going to be greater in the long term, and we just need more resources to do that.
Let's bring on Rachel Foltz here really quick of Call to Freedom, Director of Impact and Program Relations. Rachel, you have been a part of the show before. Yeah. And you kind of had Call to Freedom fall into your lap. Is that right?
It sure seems like it. Yeah. Thank you for having me again. It's such a privilege to be here with you this morning. It's funny, Becky, when she shared the mission and kind of history of Call to Freedom and its evolution, it really ignites something in my heart because my journey, too, was pretty similar, including my journey with Call to Freedom specifically, where my early career kind of focused on grant writing and securing funding for nonprofits in the gender-based violence kind of space. And so I think it was 2017-18 that I actually pursued on a volunteer capacity a grant writing opportunity with Call to Freedom, when at the time Becky was looking to kind of expand and diversify the funding portfolio of the agency. And then, as God would have it, years later, when I wanted to kind of find an opportunity to pursue that in a full-time capacity to give back to South Dakota about what I was so passionate about, the stars really aligned where Call to Freedom and Becky and her team were looking for somebody to come on. And so it's just really kind of a beautiful journey of that volunteerism into it and how we can grow taking someone's passions as a volunteer, whether you're going to turn it into a full-time career or just, you know, use your talents to advance the agency in other ways. We just have a special spot in our heart for volunteers, mm-hmm. and so many who choose to give their time and talents in that way.
And Becky, over the last 10 years for you, what's kept you going between the triumphs, the challenges? What really kept you motivated in this passion?
Yeah, I think it's obviously those that we serve. When they walk through the doors and you hear the horrific stories and you live life with them, you journey life. I think one of the things that we became at Call to Freedom very intentional about is there's not a timeline on services that those that walk through the doors. Obviously, they have to advance through the programming, mm-hmm. be doing the work, but they don't have family, a lot of them. A lot of them don't have that continual support. And I just became very intentional about making sure that they always had that opportunity to be supported no matter where they were at in their journey. And so just sitting down, you'll hear next year, one of the things that we're doing for our 10 year is the voices of those that we serve. And so there will be some radio spots that you'll hear of actual survivors who are sharing their lived experience through a series with Call to Freedom. And when I sat in that room and we recorded those tracks, I just thought, this is why I do what I do. Mm. I do this because, you know, they so desperately wanted hope. They didn't think people would believe their stories. And, you know, as they were recording the audio, I think some of the audio guy was like, I can't believe this is even real, because it's so unimaginable what they live through. And it has to be a certain group of people that are called to this mission, because it's not easy. But when you hear those with lived experience that are sharing their voices to help others and to make an impact, that's why we do what we do.
It's going to call others to take action for sure. If you are just listening, we're talking about Call the Freedom. Becky Rasmussen, Rachel Foltz, and Jen Recknagel. She is here with us with Thrive. And don't worry, Jen, we're going to get to you in a little bit. And Becky, before we talk about the upcoming events with Call the Freedom, I know that there have been some local stories highlighting that trafficking is happening in our area. Can you shed some light on some of those stories recently?
Yeah, I'll talk about the one that we saw in Winter, South Dakota. A lot of people don't think that trafficking is happening within our rural communities or within our state. And that is just an example of that's not true. It was a woman who was recruiting young teenage girls, and she was recruiting them for a male individual who was exploiting these kids through pornography as well as trafficking and selling them. And so you see in this that it's usually not one person that is doing this. There's usually a team or maybe a group of people that are sometimes potentially recruiting. And then, you know, you have an exploiter who's a trafficker. And in this case, you know, they both were indicted and found guilty. I think these cases are really hard. Winter case was around the hunting season. He was had a profession that he was working around hunting season. And so these young teens were being exploited in multiple different ways. And that was just an example. And, you know, that one of the young individuals that we work with within that had to testify. And to get up and relive your story is traumatizing in itself. And these cases are very, very difficult to prosecute because traffickers are very good at taking and manipulating their victims to not be good crime victims. And so drugs are introduced. Mental health is a real issue. If you've endured that kind of trauma, obviously you're going to have a hard time getting up and reliving that again and again. And so these cases are really hard to prosecute. And we also had, I'm going to let Rachel talk about this one here, a local Sioux Falls teacher. You want to take this one, Rach?
Every case, a heartbreaking reminder of how close to home, in a very literal sense, this issue is. Like Becky alluded to, in 2024, a Sioux Falls middle school teacher was arrested and federally indicted. And very recently, I say thankfully for the victims and survivors within the case, was convicted as well on several charges. But basically what happened in the Sioux Falls-based case, this teacher, he was entrusted to the care and education of students, and he used all of that against them to exploit them. He created fake teen profiles on Snapchat and TikTok to develop relationships, some with students he knew, some with other kids across the country, to solicit explicit images from them. There's 48 known victims, some of whom law enforcement says they still haven't identified who and where these kids are. But a lot of them, as I said, were some of his own students. And so to me, this case too really played out in a very concrete and kind of goosebumps eliciting way. The six stages of grooming were all present kind of one by one. So you first kind of saw this teacher target. He chose vulnerable girls that perhaps, especially those that he knew from the classroom, knowing so intimately details of their lives and what they might be struggling with. He kind of used that knowledge against them to create this really deep emotional bond. And then he would gain their trust. In some cases, he would pretend to be this 15-year-old peer, engage them in friendly conversation online, build that trust, and then step in to fulfill a need, you know, offering attention or money for photos, some of these different pieces where it actually escalated to an exchange. Some victims actually really heartbreakingly testified that the exchange piece, it was candy or good grades in his own class. Horrifying. And then it would kind of escalate into isolation, where he online in the digital spaces, he'd move the chats to private, to secret accounts, to kind of make it even harder to identify and appropriately respond. And then moving into that sexualization stage, where once he developed rapport and trust and isolated them from people that they knew and trusted, including other adults in their lives, then he would ask for that explicit content. And these minors thinking that they were talking to a peer, to a friend, someone that they trusted, thought they knew, would send that material. And then he would, the last stage is control, you know, using shame, secrecy to keep them silent, to keep them caught in this hamster wheel of abuse. And yeah, I just think something that comes to mind for me too, I think a couple of big takeaways for us as a local community grooming, exploitation, all of these different types of abuse, they're most often statistically likely to be committed by people that you know and you trust.
Yeah.
It's not to say that it can't be by strangers, but just knowing what grooming looks like in practice, and for someone in a position of authority like a teacher to use that trust and emotional connection with his students for nefarious purposes, it's sadly a tale that's all too common. And then I think secondly, you know, I'm just wrestling with where Call to Freedom is in the aftermath of where do these young kids mm-hmm. go for help and services and care. One of the victims had a quote, something to the effect of, "I'm really struggling to trust men in my life and especially my male teachers." And something as simple, it just broke my heart, where she's struggling to rebuild trust and emotional connection. And one of the top services that Call to Freedom provides year over year is a simple service, or seemingly simple, called emotional moral support. And at face value, I think you hear that Call to Freedom and our case managers and supportive staff are providing emotional support to victim survivors. But we kind of lose the gravity of what that means, especially when we're talking about kids. About what these kids need is a trained professional to help them rebuild that trust. And it's hard. It might take years or a lifetime to learn to trust again, to learn what safety is. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of big questions that we're just wrestling with. But I think this case really hit home what we're trying to do at Call to Freedom on the prevention and intervention side both.
Absolutely. And I can just tell from your voice, Rachel, that it's very unsettling. And I'm sure anybody listening to that story right now is also feeling very heartbroken and discouraged by authority figures in this community. And I think one way to do something directly about it is to be involved with organizations, especially like Call to Freedom. That is what one business is actually doing on December 2nd. There's a lot of events coming up, but I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit and talk about what Thrivent is doing with Call to Freedom. Jen Recknagel, she is on with us. Jen, hello.
Hello.
So everyone knows Becky, it seems like, in this world. But I want to know a little bit about Thrivent's story and any connection you have with Call to Freedom.
Yeah, so thanks so much for having us. So I am super excited to be involved with these folks. And it's funny how things come full circle, right? So several years ago, Becky may not even remember this, a coworker and I did an action team with Call to Freedom. We had one of their gals speak and do kind of an online webinar, and they shared some amazing statistics, and they hadn't even developed as far as they are now. This was several years ago. But our folks that listened to this were in awe of what's happening in the local community as well as the state. And so we did that several years ago, and it's always remained in the back of my mind, gosh, could we partner with them again sometime? And so my role with Thrivent as an engagement specialist not only is to provide education and opportunities like that to our community, but specifically for Giving Tuesday, partnering with organizations that we're really drawn to and that have similar values and a mission like Thrivent does.
So what is that day going to entail? Again, there's a lot of things happening with Call to Freedom in the month of December, especially on the 2nd. So what is that day going to look like?
Yeah, so we are going to have a lot of fun that day. It is really kind of a three-part series, if you will.
Maybe even a four-part series.
We may go well into the evening. You just don't know. We're going to start the morning off at Zook's Coffee and Tea. And have the Call to Freedom staff as well as Thrivent there in the morning with a table for folks who are coming in for their morning coffee to really stop, visit the table, learn more about the mission and all the things Call to Freedom as well as Thrivent if you choose. And Thrivent's going to grab a cup of coffee for them. So we're going to pay for coffee in the morning, share the mission, and it's going to be just a great couple hours at Zook's. That'll be in the morning from 6:30 to 9.
Perfect. And then the afternoon, I know Call to Freedom, you guys are doing something during that time period, too. You're having some food trucks there.
We are bringing some food trucks right to the new office of Call to Freedom. And if you haven't been there, I encourage you to stop by. They are going to be doing some tours of the facility, and it's fantastic, by the way. We're going to have some food trucks, free food. Come on, grab some food. They're also going to have some fabulous volunteers inside making some cards. These cards are going to really be for all of these victims and folks that they interact with on a daily basis. Not only simple things like birthday cards, but maybe encouragement. You just heard Rachel and Becky both talk about really the longevity and the time that it takes for these folks to heal. We're going to give them some positive messages that they can have throughout the entire year. So come in, make a card, grab some food, take a tour, and you can visit with all the lovely ladies and the staff at Call to Freedom.
Wonderful. Lots of great things happening for Call to Freedom. We're talking with Becky Rasmussen, Rachel Foltz, and just on with us was Jen Recknagel from Thrivent about their partnership with Call to Freedom for Giving Tuesday on Tuesday, December 2nd. And I know, Becky, also that day you're going to be doing some online training at Embrace Church later on that evening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I might pivot this to Rachel. She's been pretty involved with the development of the material that we're going to be talking about. But one of the things that we want to do is Thrivent is such a great partner, and we will be doing a match gift that day leading in. And we wanted to also give back to the community. So the community is always given to us. We wouldn't be where we're at without our community. So we're doing an ask to our community that day, but we want to purposely end the day by giving back to our community. Mm-hmm. And so this event is called Keeping Kids Safe Online, and it'll be at Embrace Church on the west side. You can go to calltofreedom.org and get all of these details as well that we're talking about and register for this event. But at this event, we are going to explore, we'll have resource booths there for parents who are struggling with really those online pieces with their kids. You know, there's so many ways that kids can get connected, and also perpetrators can get connected to your kids. And so we want to be able to give a safe place for parents and their kids to come and talk through these issues and learn about what's happening online. And so anybody is able to attend. It is free to the community. We're going to have some great cookies and soda there that day too. And the event doors open at 6 o'clock. Event starts at 6:30 to 8 p.m. And we're going to have a partnership with the federal entities that are investigating these cases. And they are very passionate about this. It's been kind of fun to work with them and develop what we're going to talk about that day. But they are very passionate about this issue. And we're so grateful for our federal partners and HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. So there will be two that will be presenting that night, as well as two Call to Freedom individuals. And we'll talk about how to define and identify online threats like sextortion and grooming, as well as talk to kids about tech and safety, and also equip parents to be able to understand how do I go online and see where my kids are spending time, and how do I maybe understand some of these apps, and what ability do I have as a parent to have oversight. And so all of that will be talked about through this training, as well as, again, set up effective parental controls, report the abuse right away, as well as how do I remove harmful content using the Take It Down platform. There's so many new pieces of legislation that have been introduced that everybody's kind of figuring out how to utilize it. How do we put this into practice? And so we really, and I'll turn over to Rachel to answer some of those questions, but how do we assist and come alongside? This is really overwhelming. It's not overwhelming for the kids, and these guys are very good at manipulating and forcing kids into situations very quickly. And kids haven't, you know, they're young enough where they haven't processed through how to make good decisions in these scenarios. And so we really want to not only equip parents, but also kids to have a better understanding of how this is facilitated online between sextortion and grooming, and what you can do to identify what's really happening to you.
Yeah. So, Rachel, anything else you'd like to add about that night on December 2nd? And then there's also Tuesday, December 9th. It is the prayer night featuring Christian artist Taryn. I'm just going to let you run through everything.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I am thrilled for this December 2nd training. I think Becky really hit the nail on the head that our goal too through it is consistency across generations, that Call to Freedom has been providing prevention education directly to K through 12 students, kids and young people since 2017-18 thereabouts. But we need parents and caregivers, people who work and serve youth as part of the equation, right? That when both young adults, youth and adults learn the same warning signs and language to build that shared safety culture instead of isolated lessons. And grooming, you know, it's so often quiet. It's hard to spot. And so adults are really, like Becky said, just craving that empowerment, that practical tips, clear tools to recognize and respond. And with our partners in federal and state, all levels of law enforcement coming alongside us to conduct this training, I'll just say in preparing the content, you know, we've been doing this kind of work for about 10 years. So you think you've seen it all. You think you're pretty well versed in the issue. The amount that I personally have learned already in preparing the content has been staggering. And so I would just implore you, no matter your level of familiarity with technical digital spaces, online safety, there's something for everyone to really learn and grow and come alongside their kids or young people in their lives. And secondly, you mentioned it is a really busy month for Call to Freedom.
I know.
December
I
is really going to be
just kind of like throwing it all at you, saying, "Talk about it all, Rachel."
You know, our way, just who we are, our approach to this issue is just holistic and intense, and the speed at which we move is light years fast because we're just so full of passion. And so another kind of event that we wanted to host to channel that, to give back to the community, to uplift victim survivors, the community. Call to Freedom is a faith-based organization, and we do what we do out of a sincere love and desire to serve Christ as a Christian organization. And so with that, every facet of this issue, we believe the best path forward is to just cover it in prayer from top to bottom. And so on December 9th, in partnership with some fantastic organizations, including 8 Days of Hope, who you've probably heard us speak about in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. And their how much they've given back to us and so many other anti-trafficking organizations nationally. Through their generosity and support, we're able to bring in Tarian, a fantastic award-winning Christian artist who just emulates the gospel and helps live it out so boldly through her music. So it's going to be a beautiful night on December 9th of worship, prayer, just covering every aspect of this issue in prayer, especially the victims and survivors and those impacted. So it's going to be a really powerful night. It too is free. Doors will open at 6 p.m. with the event running from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Here too, you can find more details and register on our website at calltofreedom.org.
And this is going to be again December 9th, Tuesday, December 9th at the Embrace Church located on 57th Street. Becky, I don't think there's anything that Call to Freedom can't do at this point. And there is a lot of great events coming up to support Call to Freedom, your mission. Anything else that you would like to say to kind of tease the 10-year anniversary coming up?
We are just grateful to this community. Giving this a voice is key to exposing the darkness. And I just want to implore our community and just reach out to our community, say, come to these events, get educated, understand what's happening within our communities, and you are part of the call. It isn't just a Call to Freedom call. It's a Thrivent call. It's a community call. And we just want people to come alongside us within collaboration just to be a part of the fight. And that's all we are. We're a part of the fight. But this, to end this trafficking, to really see movement, we need our community to come alongside us, not only from resources to volunteer, but also to share their voice as an impact to say no more to this. And I can't tell you how much that speaks to those that we serve. One of the things that they're told by their traffickers, you'll never believe. People won't believe what's happening to you. When you share, people aren't going to believe. And we're here to say, we believe you. And we need the community to say, we believe believe this as well. And if we don't start bringing and be proactive to this issue, where it's going to grow. It's not going to stop. It's a business and it's a moneymaker. And when it's business, they find new ways to facilitate it. So go to calderfreedom.org, find out how you can be involved with the fight and be a part of ending human trafficking. And we invite you to the table.
The call starts now. Call the Freedom. And the match is on December 2nd. Again, right, Jen?
The match is on. If you want to make an impact, help us and come to these events or donate online. The really cool thing about Giving Tuesday is that you can jump online that day at 12:01 a.m. until 11:59 p.m. You can donate to Call to Freedom, and the really fantastic thing is that Thrivent is doing a match. For every $2 you donate, Thrivent will donate $1 up to a $20,000 match that day.
See, again, that is Tuesday, December 2nd. Becky Rasmussen, Rachel Foltz, Jen Recknagel of Thrivent, thank you all. I wish I can extend this time, but we are out of it. So thank you all again for coming out.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.